We are all familiar with the story of St. Francis of Assisi, the man of the 14th century who gave up everything and served the poor. But there is a real depth to Francis of Assisi. A lot of the things that we don't know, we don't understand. He never did preach the gospel using words if necessary, but he did remind his followers to love one another always. Simply love them, he said. There was a conversion experience. We don't have any sense that Francis was a bad person. As a matter of fact, we have a good sense that Francis was a man who was yearning, seeking for something deep in his life. And as he wandered about, he recognized the needs, the concerns of so many who were the poor and the unaware, the broken and the oppressed. He recognized the hurt and the pain and the frustration in the lives of so many. He was a son of a very wealthy man, and he himself had access to lots and lots of money. So he gave away a lot of the money. Dad was not real happy with that, and oftentimes would chastise him for giving away the money he was supposed to be using for other things or something that was part of the household money. Francis would give that away. And he, the father of Francis, even had the bishop intervene and wanted him to stop giving away his money. And Francis, at that time, we hear that story that we all know well. He took all of his clothing and everything that he owned and went to the town square. And not only stripped down into his birthday suit and said, "This is what God gave me and this is what I'm wearing," but also he disavowed his connection to his father. He said, I'm part of the larger humanity," and denied any access to the family treasures, the family inheritance. But he lived out a very radical way, and that's what Francis found so appealing, was the radicalness of the gospel, to live out the life of the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That he went out, him and his followers who lived in the woods would go out and they would beg for alms, beg for clothing, and the things that they received, they gave away. He would work to feed those who were hungry and to console those that were sick and dying. And as the ministry grew, so did this work, so did this mission and ministry of following the gospel with a radical poverty, with a way of seeking always the things that were of heaven and making their life a living witness of what it means to be a follower, disciple of our Lord Jesus Christ. A very deep spiritual man Francis was. And then later in his life, he received the stigmata. But that was not for him a cause of boasting, but a pain almost like St. Paul had to endure, something that was part of his life, and continued to proclaim boldly, proclaim loudly all that he had known and all that he had come to understand through Jesus Christ. And his love and his recognition that all of us are a member of humanity and we live together for and with one another. And his respect not only for human and human nature and human dignity, but also for nature itself, for all that is created, all creation, recognizing and realizing that we are made holy, that all the world, there's a sacredness about it. And Francis recognized that wherever he was always walking on sacred ground amongst sacred people. And of course, we have our own Pope Francis. And a few weeks ago, Pope Francis issued the encyclical Laudato Si, and in it, he addresses a multiplicity of matter concerning our interrelationship as men and women and our interrelationship with the earth, calling for us to respect the environment and not just simply pick up trash and recycle, but in a very real way realize that everything that we have is a gift, that the earth that we live in needs to be nurtured and nourished and taken care of and tended to. Pope Francis recognized in this encyclical the interrelationship that we have with one another and how our business and how our occupations and how our actions and activity, how it can affect not only the world, the quality of water and land and vegetation and all those very important things, but also how our economy and how our interaction with one another affects the lives of one another as well. And he calls us to recognize that there is this interaction and interdependence of the world and ourselves. And what we do and how we live and how we respond to the world and the people around us makes a big deal, and is a big difference that we have to make. And we are called always to make that difference for those things that are good, that we are always striving to nurture and nourish not only our relationship with the earth, but our relationship with one another as well, through economy, through feeding the needs of humanity, seeing that in the earth it is evident how our lives not only are affected, but how they affect the world as well. And he calls us, Pope Francis does, to see to it that all men and women have the basics of life, food and clothing and education and a job, home and economy, basic necessities. But even more importantly, Pope Francis says, is the dignity and integrity of the human spirit. The dignity and integrity of what it means to be a man and what it means to be a woman, our interrelationship with one another, and how we respect and respond to the goodness and the wholeness and holiness of each other as well. And we use our talents and skills to build up the world and build up one another as well, and how important that is for us. Many, many years ago, the U.S. bishops issued a document. It was entitled Called and Gifted. And it's a document about stewardship. And a lot of times when we hear the word stewardship, we think about the envelope we get after Easter from the diocese. Here's your envelope. The diocese is taking a collection. We think to ourselves, that's what stewardship's about. No. Stewardship is about taking responsibility to the garden that is entrusted to us. That we have been made in a garden. We are created and placed in the garden. And we think back at those first humans, Adam and Eve, who frolicked about the Garden of Eden in their birthday suits, doing whatever Adam and Eve were doing during the day, probably playing Xbox and things of that nature all day. But in their relationship, they had this very sacred, very holy, very intimate relationship with God and one another and the garden itself. And they are called and told and challenged to be stewards of each other and stewards of the garden in which they are put in. And that sense of taking responsibility for the garden entrusted to us, the U.S. bishop said many years ago in this document, is so very, very important for us. And the church, the bishops talk about those churchy religious concerns, of course, the things that we think about when we think about church, worship and religious education, the care of the poor and the anawim, standing with the poor and the oppressed. Those are important things, to be sure. But also, what makes us human? What makes us men and women? It is things like our support of culture and arts and music and all those things that build up the integrity of people, the integrity of humanity, that we are also taking responsibility for those matters as well, that we are aware of the needs and concerns of people around us and the political process as well, that we listen to the news, that we watch things, we are always well informed about the matter that happens around us. So we make good judgments, and judgments based always on justice and peace. Judgments that are based on the goodness and the wholeness and holiness of men and women. And that's really our challenge, to be sure. And that's that notion, that understanding, like Francis, is that we worship God the Father, and we love God the Father, and we love one another, just as Jesus told us. And we do that in a very radical way, a way that is overwhelmingly called to a call to prayerfulness and sacredness and holiness in our very lives and our relationship with the world around us. Like bread that is blessed and broken, Jesus continues to look out today. And Jesus' entire ministry is one of building up a people of God, reminding us of our relationship with God the Father. And as Jesus Christ, as we hear yesterday, last week's gospel and today, as he looks out, he sees the needs and concerns of so many, and his heart is moved with pity. He recognizes their hunger, not just hunger because they've been sitting on this hillside all day, they've had nothing to eat or drink, but he also realizes and recognizes the hungers that are deep in the human spirit, in the human life, and the men and women. He sees those hungers and recognizes them. Give them something to eat, he tells the disciples. And in a real way, he's telling us that too. Give them something to eat. Take responsibility for the mission and ministry in which you are disciples of. You are following me faithfully, that you also are called to feed them, to nurture and nourish them. Recognize the hunger of the world. As we gather together at Mass, as we have for centuries, that's one of the things that becomes very, very apparent. We look around and we realize and recognize that we all come with different needs and different concerns and different hungers. We all come with all sorts of stories. It'd be interesting some Sunday to take all the benches and put the benches around in a circle and just go from person to person and share our God story, share our story of life, share our joys and our hopes and our dreams, and share where we have fallen down, where we're afraid, where we're fearful, what are our needs and concerns, and just to go around and talk about that and be very apparent and become very revealing that all of us gathered together, as Jesus recognizes, with all sorts of hunger, with all sorts of thirst, with all sorts of yearning. And what happens, of course, in our life is we walk around and we run around, we try to find other stuff to satisfy those hungers. And we find things like cotton candy kinds of solutions to our life. And we gobble down this cotton candy, and it tastes real good because it's cotton candy, it's sugar, and it's real sweet. And we just keep eating it. We love getting our hands sticky and everything else, and we're filling ourselves up with cotton candy. But what happens is we're never satisfied. We always want more. We want something different. We want more cotton candy. We want the multi-swirled, multi-colored cotton candy. We want something cotton candy in bags or bigger sticks, whatever it might be. And that's sort of what happens in our life as we try to chow down on stuff that doesn't feed us or nurture us or nourish us. And at Mass, Jesus offers us a solution. And just as the young boy has a few loaves of bread and some fish, that Jesus offers himself today in very, very simple bread and very, very terrible wine. That what is brought up here today will be these little pieces of bread and wine. It's not really good wine. I had a really good glass of good wine last night. You should have been over last night at my house. But this wine is just very basic wine. It's very basic bread. But what happens to the stuff is that we impose the Holy Spirit. We pray that the Spirit be sent down upon this bread and wine and becomes for us the body and blood of Jesus Christ. That Jesus himself becomes present to us. And he's the source of food. He's the source of salvation for each and every one of us. He's the source of our life. And Jesus comes into our lives to feed us and nurture us and nourish us, to strengthen us, to give us the courage, to give us the insight and the wisdom that we might, like Jesus, look out and see the needs and concerns of the world around us. That we might recognize where there's brokenness, where there's a need of healing, a need of peace. And we take on that role then of being those conveyors of God's grace, God's goodness and God's love to those around us. Simple bread and simple wine, just like a few loaves and fish, are blessed and multiplied, and we are fed and nurtured and nourished by Jesus Christ our Lord. And we share the body and blood of Jesus Christ, and at the same time then, we're also challenged to be the body and blood of Jesus Christ. We are challenged to take home what we receive here in a very powerful way and to allow our lives to be Christ-like in all that we do. And it's a very radical call, challenge for each and every one of us. God wants us to be fed by his very self. And there's a table fellowship. We gather together and recognize that we're receiving something from the earth, something that's been put together, that's been grown and nurtured from the ground, and has been made and created by human hands, and blessed and sanctified by God the Father, has consecrated again, becoming something even more holy for each and every one of us. And we gather around the table with everybody, all peoples in all places and all spaces. And there's a table fellowship that we have a certain sense of being mannered at the table. There's certain actions and activities that we have to allow to be part of our life. The bread and wine continues to become the body and blood of Christ, which becomes our communion with God, our communion with one another. And this feeding of the people and their divisions is a prophetic vision. Just like Isaiah talks about this holy mountain. On this holy mountain, God will gather all peoples to the eternal banquet, the sacred banquet, where there'll be no more tears or sadness, no more unhappiness, no more brokenness. And we begin that journey here in this place and this space, and we are nurtured and nourished by God the Father, recognizing our interconnection with one another, our relationship with the world, our relationship with each other. And when we partake of this food from heaven, we hunger and thirst no more. This is the ultimate proof of God's love and God's compassion and providence for the whole world. We feed one another. We care for the needs of each other. We are stewards of all creation. And thanks be to God.